Today on Real Life Radio.
When are we justified in the sight of our friends and family and enemies and all? When we produce the works. That's why James says, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Yes, that's exactly true. Then why does Paul say in Romans 4, verses 1 through 5, that Abraham was justified in the sight of God by faith? Is it by works or is it by faith? It's by both.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Looking for real answers in real time? JackHibbs.com is your go-to destination for resources on faith, world events, and everything in between. Explore Happening Now, where Pastor Jack Hibbs takes a timely, no-nonsense look at today's biggest issues, blending biblical insight with the latest headlines. Now, whether you're curious about the world around you or you want guidance on a personal level, Pastor Jack has you covered. And by the way, don't miss the Real Life Network. It's packed with relatable, family-friendly content that really speaks to everyday challenges and triumphs, offering something really valuable for every member of your family. Now, if you're new to the faith, you want to refresh your perspective, start with that tab that says, Know God. An accessible, welcoming space to learn and reflect and find your footing. Now, whatever your path, JackHibbs.com has the tools and the insights and the encouragement that you need. Tune in, log on, find something real. Once again, the website, JackHibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of James. Today's title, Salvation by Faith or Works, Part 2. Now, before it became one of the books of the New Testament, James was a letter that was sent to the Jews who chose to follow Christ. And here in part 2, James continues to encourage them to have true faith in Christ. You see, we need to make sure that we are truly following Jesus Christ. Indeed, we're not saved by works, but faith without action is an empty faith. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that works are a result of true faith. If we've made a personal commitment to follow Christ, the result is a change of lifestyle and a desire to serve others. Now, with his message called Salvation by Faith or Works, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What about Isaiah? He's a funny guy. Isaiah was Mr. Prep. He was born and raised in the courts of the king. He had a silver spoon in his mouth, gold spoon, so to speak. Isaiah, pampered, prophet to the king, he had it made. And then something happened. And the Lord told Isaiah, I'm looking around for young people. This is in the scriptures. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You go search it later. God told Isaiah, I want you to pull your shorts down and shine your rear end at them. And you tell Israel, you see the shame back here? See that shame? God says, that's what's going to happen to you if you don't repent and follow me. Can you imagine being a prophet of God? And God says, okay, I want you to turn around and drop your robe. Why? Because I'm trying to tell them, it's an illustration, Isaiah. You got to do this. Lord, you're creating, no, there's no way. Can you imagine? There's another part where Isaiah, God says, go naked, walk around in the streets and tell them your embarrassment is going to be nothing like it is, or my embarrassment will be nothing like it is compared to yours. God's going to devastate you because you won't turn from your ways. Can you imagine being a messenger of God? Lord, use me. To make an illustration, to drive the point home, Abraham takes his son, and God says, I'll tell you when you get there that this is the hill. I don't know about Abraham. You know how kids are on the back of a car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I bet Abraham's riding the donkey. Is that the hill? How about this hill? For 3 days they rode. After the command came out to Abraham to kill his son, in Abraham's heart and Abraham's mind, his son had been dead 3 days. A 3 days journey away until they get to the place where God says, that's the hill, that's the mount, right there. Remember the name of it? Mount Moriah. It's called Golgotha today. It's the same place where another father offered up his son 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ. Did Abraham know that he was acting out the prophetic offering of Jesus Christ himself through the Father? I don't think so. But God tells Abraham to go do this thing, and Abraham moved in faith to offer his only begotten son. And of course, the angel of the Lord stops him as he's going to sacrifice his son. But it's an amazing thing because here's Isaac, 30 years of age, and he's laying down willfully. Not only did Abraham believe that the promise that God had given, remember what that promise was? Abraham, through Isaac, I'm going to bless the entire world. But Isaac hadn't been married yet. Isaac didn't have any kids yet. Abraham literally believed that God would have to raise his son from the ashes, from the dead, to fulfill the plan. And Abraham trusted God to do that very thing. That is incredible. What's with the faith of Abraham? Abraham was ready to kill his son because he loved the Lord so much, and God had asked him. The angel of the Lord stopped the knife going into Isaac's chest. And then Abraham, as the scripture says, God says to him, "Now I know, Abraham." Of course, he knew all along, but Abraham had to be taught. "Now I know, Abraham, you will not even withhold your son from me." And they both went back down the hill and joined their friends and rode back home. And Abraham called it worship. That's amazing. True childlike saving faith will follow God at his word, no matter how ludicrous it may seem to be. It's the divorcing of self. God, you are mine. You're all that I need. You're everything to me. And God says, I want to keep it that way. But listen, James says here, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son on the altar? You know what, people? You see the question mark at the end of verse 21? The act of offering Isaac. This is extremely interesting. Now, I want you guys, I know it's hot in here, but I want you to catch this. I was so blessed by this that I got up and I physically had to get up and move around my house where I was studying because this blessed me so much. Are you ready for this? Everybody listen up. This is in Genesis 22, this event. Abraham offers up Isaac in Genesis 22. No problem. But God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6, and told Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6, because you've believed in me, I am now stamping you righteous. You are now holy in my sight. You are justified in my sight. You are redeemed in my sight. When? Genesis 15, verse 6. So what's your point? This is the point. It was 40 years later that Abraham takes his son up on the hill. So do we have a discrepancy in the Bible? No. We have the most awesome, wonderful thing stated. Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord says, you're righteous. By the way, when did God say, according to his book, that you were righteous? Listen. God says to Abraham, you're righteous. And you're my friend. Isn't that great? God says, you're a friend. You're my friend. That's awesome. God says, you're my friend. 40 years goes by, and God says, take your son to the top of the hill. James says he was justified when he offered his son. That is exactly true. But there's some more to the story. You see, and I'm looking for a response. Somebody give me the answer to this. According to the Bible, when were you saved? Somebody give me an answer. The right answer. Oh, come on. Don't be shy. It's just us. Ephesians chapter 1. We were saved in the heart and the mind of God in eternity. God knew that we were going to be his. Okay? Did you know that? Did I know that? I didn't know that. You didn't know that. God knew that. So when were we justified in the sight of God? He knew all along. When was Abraham really a friend of God in God's mind? All along. Why did God call Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to create a whole new nation? God knew who he was going to call his friend. God knew Abraham would believe in him. God knows these things. God knows right now, those of you who are going to accept Christ today, he knows this. He knew those of last service who were going to accept Christ before he ever created the moon. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. But when did you know? When did your family and friends know that you were a Christian? This is the wonderful impact of what we're talking about. In the mind of God, you were justified from eternity because those of you who are born-again Christians, he knew you were coming. In the mind of God, it was a done deal, Ephesians 1 tells us. But before men, before observable witnesses, when does it happen? When are we justified in the sight of our friends and family and enemies and all? When we produce the works. That's why James says, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Yes, that's exactly true. Then why does Paul say in Romans 4, verses 1 through 5, that Abraham was justified in the sight of God by faith? Is it by works or is it by faith? It's by both. If you truly have faith in God and you're justified before God, and God has called you to be his child, you have saving faith in Christ. Well, what's the proof among us as eyewitnesses? Justification by works. See, it doesn't really bless my life at all if you say, I'm a Christian. What blesses my life is if you pull over and help me with my flat tire. Don't drive by and say, Pastor Jack, is that you? Yeah, it is. You got a flat? Uh-huh. Well, be warm and be filled. God bless you. Bye. That's pretty rude. That's exactly what James is talking about. Don't say you're a Christian and live otherwise. The reason why Abraham is our illustration of faith is because he believed in God, and as time went on in his life, fruit or works began to flow from his life. If you say you're a Christian, what's flowing from your life? Jesus says in John 7:35 that we who believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, he says that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Is that what's happening in your life? Do you and I provoke people to want to become a Christian? That's what James is looking for. He's got his magnifying glass and he's looking. I look like Hobo Kelly right now. Look, I see, James would say, I see Johnny and Billy and Bobby, and I don't hear a thing, but I'm looking at their life and I can tell that they're Christians. That's what James is saying. Don't tell me that you're a Christian. James is saying, I want to see it. And if you can just talk about it, James says, your faith is dead. You're not real. Well, I got a Bible. Well, I'm sure Satan's got a volume of Bibles. I memorize scripture. Satan knows more Bible than all of us combined. Well, I've been in church for a long time. Well, I'm sure Satan visits church all the time. But I believe, James says, the demons believe, and they're not saved. Well, then how do I know? How do I know that I'm really saved? Because first of all, you're concerned right now about it. You're concerned. You're serious. It's like, man, wait a minute. And see, I almost got mugged last week with this message. This is part two. Did I mention that? I didn't, did I? If you're visiting, you came on this second round here. Last week, I almost got mugged. I had people telling me, I'm going to do my thing no matter what you say. And I said, what'd I say? What did I say? I didn't say anything. I'm just the messenger. Don't confuse the messenger with the message. They're all upset at me. Well, I'm going to do my thing and I don't care what anybody says and I'm not going to come back anymore. Okay, we need the seats anyhow.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The fact of the matter is, what James is telling us not only cut to the quick of his audience, it cut to the quick of us. Are we really believers? Paul the Apostle said, examine yourself to see whether you are truly in the faith or not, lest you be deceived, as some have been. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Why does 1 John tell me these things have been written that I might know I have eternal life? I want to know it. By the way, somebody will tell you, you can't know until you're dead. Oh, what a time to find out. Think about it. I'm dying now, any minute, and gee, I get to know where I'm going to be in eternity, heaven or hell. No, the Bible says you can know now. The Bible says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. You can know that now. What justified Abraham? Faith in God when it came to the heavenly record. What justified Abraham? Works before men when it came to the earthly record. You see how neat that is? Don't tell me you're a Christian. I need help now. Show me. You see? It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. Listen to this. Hebrews 11:17. You ought to jot it down. This is incredible. It's a commentary on this passage of Scripture. It says, by faith, Abraham, notice it's not works, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19 of Hebrews 11. This is an awesome passage. Abraham concluded then that God was able to raise up Isaac even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Isn't that awesome? Abraham knew that if he killed his boy, God would raise him up. That's faith. Isn't that just like a little kid? They're just like that. You can tell a little kid anything. Don't worry, Junior. I'll buy you your own In-N-Out burger after I take yours from you. You know, that kind of a thing. No, then, okay. Come here, but you know, if you clean your room, buddy, all week, you're going to get, you know, a surprise. Okay. They'll believe anything. That's what we're supposed to be like. I'm not saying gullible. I'm saying when God speaks, we're supposed to say, okay, whatever you want, Lord, fine with me. That's Abraham. He was an old man who was like a child in faith. Well, Jesus, Lord, God, you said you're going to bless the world through this boy. I don't see how that's going to happen if you ask me to just kill him. But I'm going to do what you said. And I believe if I kill him, you're going to raise him up from the dead. That's the deal. That's the bottom line. That's faith. Listen, verse 22. Look what he says here. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Listen to this. Very, very important. What I want you to see in verse 22 is that there's an association of faith and works, and I'm just going to touch on this, and for time's sake, we're going to keep going. Look at it this way. Kierkegaard, by the way, put it like this, and this is a brilliant way to look at it. He says, consider a Christian like a bird who has two wings to fly. Kierkegaard said that a bird cannot truly fly right or fly at all unless it has faith on one side flapping its wing and works on the other side of its body flapping its wing. When those two wings begin to flap, says Kierkegaard, faith and works together, that bird is going to move. And he said that's exactly how the Christian is. The Christian has faith on one side working, and he's got works on one side working. And the Christian who's really, truly real, you'll be able to see because there they go. Faith's a verb. They'll be moving on. They'll be finding things. Hey, what needs to be done? Or if it's in the home, you know, I'll take out the trash or whatever it is or whatever the case might be. They're doers. People who know the Lord are doers. Why? Jesus even himself said to his mom and his stepdad, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So should we. Jesus says, greater works you'll do than I have done because I'm going to the Father. Meaning he was going to send the Holy Spirit who was going to work through us. It's very exciting. There's an association of faith and works together. He says, do you see? The word see here in the Greek means look at the clear fact. He's challenging every Christian who's hearing this message or this verse for the last nearly 2,000 years. He says, take a look around. Know this, faith works together with works, and by works, faith is complete. You can talk about it all you want. James is saying, I'll tell you after a month of observation if you're a Christian or not. These are strong words. People don't want to hear this. But it really is for our benefit because it leads us to a clearer reality of what we should be like in this world. And verse 23, under this same point, we come to the third, really, explanation under this saving faith of Abraham, and that's found in verse 23, the authority of God's prophetic word. He says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's incredible. Just as the scriptures said. This morning, we all read Psalm 138, verse 8. And it says there that God's going to finish the work that he started. You may not believe that, or you may. It doesn't matter. He's going to do it anyway. He's going to complete that work. And the fact of the matter is, the prophetic word of God says that God will complete all that he has promised to do in your life. Now that ought to get us all pumped up. That ought to get us excited. He will complete it. Why the prophetic word? It says, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. The Bible will come to a completion. Did you know that? When the book of Revelation leads us to the last of its chapter, to the last of its few verses, this book will become a living reality in eternity, and the consummation of the ages will be in, the revelation of man would have been complete. All of God's works will be accomplished. And what he's begun in your life, he's going to complete.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Salvation by Faith or Works, Part 2. We're glad you could spend some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of James. It's a series on being doers of the Word of God, and not just hearers only. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Our book of the month, Pastor Jack, it's called The Way of the Shepherd, and it's by Dr. Kevin Lehman. Tell me about the book of the month.
Yeah.
Is it geared toward business or leaders, or who's it geared toward?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me put it to our audience this way. We are not departing from these wonderful, obviously spiritually based books that we offer up here on the program.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you that I read this book by Dr. Kevin Lehman, who's a believer, but he's also a man who's called upon to speak all over the world to leadership conferences. And so he wrote a book called The Way of the Shepherd, Seven Secrets to Managing Productive People. So you said, well, Jack, I'm a Christian. I don't need to know that. But there might be a few of you in this audience right now that you are a Christian, but you're also a leader. You're a manager. You might be a supervisor. You might be a business owner because God has blessed you and you have that opportunity. How should you lead? How should you lead others? What kind of examples should you leave as a leader? And I love what this book announces. Kevin Lehman says, if it's greatness that you want out of people, it's greatness that you must give them. Mm. Well, think about that. When we talk about greatness, of course, you and I don't have any greatness. Jesus is great.
Right.
He's talking about if you do business God's way, you'll be a man, a woman of integrity, excellence. You'll be someone who's loyal. People will trust you. I tell you what, American business needs this book because America's business is broken. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. Before the ink dries on the paper, you're in a lawsuit. Why? Because we have forgotten God. And I would love to see Christ-like leadership in the area of not only church business, but business. You know, you look around and you see companies. I got to tell you, we are very dear friends of the Snyder family, which in Southern California, people know is the owners of In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to talk about excellence?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about loyalty?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? Oh, it is legendary.
Yeah.
The leadership to this moment is all about Jesus Christ. This book is going to be a great, great asset to any of us who have jobs or to any of us who provide jobs.
So how does this translate into somebody who doesn't own a business but wants to be more? Is this something that would help them be more productive? How does it work?
Yeah, sure. Well, guess what? You may or may not have these aspirations, but everybody who owns a business used to work for a business.
Yeah, good point.
And so maybe you're okay just to work for a business for the rest of your life. That's fine. That's how America works.
Yeah.
But regardless, you should be the very best. You see, well, Pastor Jack, I only put bolt A on nut B.
Yeah.
You should be the best at it.
Yeah.
You should be loyal. You should do that with excellence. You should do it like Jesus would do it. That's what this book's about.
So could somebody read this book in a way to maybe reinvigorate their sense of calling, maybe purpose sort of thing? Is that on the money?
Well, I got to tell you right now, there's a great chapter on complacency. There's a great chapter on burnout at work. And there is a wonderful dialogue between the employer and the employee on how to keep it fresh. And I got to tell everybody, this wonderful part about the book is that it's about a mentor that is now schooling a young college graduate on how to succeed with excellence. Again, biblically based. It is so practical. Your high schooler should have this book. Your college kid should have this book. And if you are certainly working, or you have people working for you, you should read this book.
The Way of the Shepherd by Dr. Kevin Lehman. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.